Hi, welcome to See What Show, and this is Mr. Brown. Welcome to the Movie, TV and DVD Review Podcast for regular people.
Hello, I'm Tammy.
Lots of movies to watch this week.
Yeah, quite a few.
Shoot 'em up.
You watched Shoot 'em Up?
Yep.
Ooh.
Last Caution.
Yes, and also
Resident Evil.
the third one.
Apocalypse? No, Extinction.
Extinction. Apocalypse was the second one.
Why can't this call it 1, 2, 3?
Well, you know.
Okay, but first, what's showing this week? What's showing this week is the legendary courtesan, a Korean movie about a legendary courtesan. apparently, she's this born of aristocratic background, then became this famous courtesan who rises in prominence during the Joseon dynasty.
This is a Korean film, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Period drama. Then got macam fighting and hero who's like a rebel leader. And
so she actually falls in love with the guy she's not supposed to sleep with.
That kind of stuff. La.
I see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then got fighting, got sex. So very exciting. Korean epic movie.
And there is also Saw 4.
Four already.
Yes, it's four.
How many people have they like sawn so far? How many have we run out of people to saw?
Apparently not.
It's out so fast.
This one, the blurb I read, right? Read that Jigsaw and his assistant Amanda are dead. For those people who didn't see Saw 3, right? This chick who survived him in Saw 1 is brought back as his apprentice and like, I am dying, but you will continue my evil work.
Oh, no.
And so they're all dead, right? But then apparently there are still some more traps left in this little town. The trailer didn't say a lot, but it looks a bit gory, you know, as is the Saw franchise. And these detectives have to go in and, like, save people. And in the end, the detectives also kena trapped. And there's, you know, one hero always who has to maneuver through a series of traps just to save all his cop friends.
Oh, this and, torture porn is just lost to me.
Not so much torture. I like the concept of Saw. This one getting a bit iffy, but, you know, I'm still going to watch it just to...
You are, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, then you can review it then. Day Watch is also coming. It's the Russian movie. It's the second in the trilogy that started with Night Watch. And the last one will be called Dusk Watch.
I thought like Afternoon Watch.
Afternoon Watch. it's not the third one. It'll be Dusk Watch. Day Watch is a science fiction slam bang movie with a lot of special effects. Big hit 2004 when Night Watch was out in Russia. Yeah, I haven't watched Night Watch yet, but I watched Day Watch, so we'll review it soon. But suffice to say, it is quite an exciting movie, although it's in Russian. It's coming soon. It's about, in a nutshell, two opposing forces, the Night Watch and the Day Watch. It's post-apocalyptic Russia. They have truce that's broken by one guy who finds a device that can change things significantly in Moscow, and everyone wants a piece of this special divine thing.
This is interesting. First Hollywood, then Bollywood, now Moscow-wood.
Moscow-wood. Russia-wood.
Russia-wood.
This is quite exciting. But we'll review it another time, but let's go on to proper reviews for this week.
See what show. Review time.
First up, Shoot 'em Up. Clive Owen is Smith, who is a mysterious man, as you can tell from his name, Smith.
Just Smith.
Yeah, who intervenes when he sees some bad guys chase and try to kill this pregnant woman. He delivers the baby while fending off the gunman.
Wow, talk about a hero
style,
complex.
Man. Yeah, style. And ends up protecting the baby from them. The gunmen, they are led by this guy called Hertz, another mysterious fellow, who is a sniveling, slightly overweight, and balding assassin.
Oh my god.
Ex-FBI profiler who is very smart and everything, you know, very smart and stuff.
Forensic behavior consultant.
Hey, don't you think you should hang back, sir?
The leader who stays in the rear takes it in the rear. Besides, violence is one of the most fun things to watch.
And he's played by Paul Giamatti. Is how you pronounce it?
Oh, Paul Giamatti. That's the guy who always plays the fast-talking...
He's like that here
that
as well.
One. Okay.
He's Miles in Sideways and Shorty in Paycheck. There's a plot somewhere inside this movie, and it's actually quite an okay one, but really you got to watch the movie for the shooting set pieces. The title pretty much says it all. Shoot 'em up. At first, I thought the movie was going to be boring. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
But I thought it's such an action flick.
It's very well done. Michael Davis, the director, did a very good job of just letting the gun choreography do its thing. This is gun porn, you know. It's all pure action. My wife actually enjoyed it. When I first, mooted the idea. Mooted, what a nice word. I said, hey, come on, shoot 'em up. She's like, sure not. Like, is it going to be boring? What is it? Why are you always bringing these obscure movies? Yeah, which is rare. She enjoys such a movie, but she really hates, like, you know, senseless action movies. But she was impressed. Yeah, I mean, the baby in the movie was funny. Provided the laughs.
Oh, the giving birth thing.
Well, no, the baby itself, himself, was sort of like a nice, oh shucks, he's cute kind of foil to the whole action thing.
So it's a bit like Baby's Day Out, where
it wasn't really like that, but there were moments the baby provided a soft touch, like, you know.
I see.
And you know, the cute moments between the action, the steamy scenes, the steamy scenes were between Smith and the lactating prostitute, yeah, I know, Donna, whom so he ropes weird. In to help save the kid.
So you'll do it.
For all I know, you snatched the kid. I don't want to be an accessory for kidnapping.
I didn't steal the kid, trust me.
Trust you? Who are you, really, Smith?
This is not a kid's movie, it's M18, alright? Donna is played by Lau Chiu, Monica Bellucci.
Ooh,
damn hot.
Always.
Oh, man. She's really hot. I think the movie works because it never takes itself seriously. It's very over the top, and it doesn't pretend to be not OTT. and I think what Kendrick said to me today was quite true. It's like there are enough fresh new things they do in there that keep it interesting. So you
mean the choreography?
Choreography, I think the twists and turns and the way they filmed it, it's clever. So, you know, you don't go like, oh, another action movie kind of thing.
So there was a good plot.
There was actually a plot. I mean, the plot actually helps to move the movie along, surprisingly, and it doesn't make you groan. And there were enough, like, corny moments.
Want to know the difference between this luxury car and a porcupine?
I give up.
With a car that pricks on the inside.
And funny lines, especially by Hertz, you know, the Paul Giamatti character, to keep things funny.
He always has a good line.
Yeah, he does. Always. In fact, I can totally see this movie like a computer game. You know, I mean, goodness. It really was playing out like a computer game.
So it's like some first-person shooter.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. But it's an example of a movie that works even though it looks like it was set up to be based on a computer game. You know what I mean?
Mm.
A lot of these computer game movies never work out. But,
yeah.
You know, this one was fantastic. I mean, it was a great date movie. Strange, right? And even the women will enjoy it. I think if you're under 18, sorry, too bad. But even then, the M18, I think it was censored.
Really?
Yeah, some parts.
What's the point?
I guess they had to cut out the bits that 18 euros could not take.
Oh yeah, go ahead,
very
hold the
violent,
gun, protect the country, cannot see women.
That's
okay.
Right. You can carry a gun, damn it. But you can't watch some of these bits. Right. Talking about stuff that you can't see and bits you can't see. Last comma caution. By Liang.
Yes, it's the new Liang movie that everybody's talking about. So it's basically made from a short story about this girl called Wang Jiazhi. She's a university student in 1940s Shanghai, and she ends up joining this drama troupe. Now, in case you didn't know, 1940s China was under attack by the Japanese. So she performs these like patriotic plays written mostly by the leader of the troupe, and you know, one fine day, the troupe decides to take it a step further. Apparently, they've gotten a contact who can introduce them to this guy called Mr. Yi. Now, Mr. Yi is this high-ranking Chinese government official who sniffs out Chinese rebels for the Japanese.
Collaborator.
So they hatch this elaborate plan to get close to him and kill him. Now, Wang Jiazhi pretends to be Mai Tai Tai, okay, this sophisticated lady, and she manages to lure Mr. Yi into this torrid affair. Now, a newcomer, Tang Wei, plays Wang Jiazhi. Her beguiling eyes and rosebud lips are perfect in their portrayal of this girl just trying to do the right thing.
She's very pretty, huh?
Yes, very, very pretty. She's convincing as both the fresh-faced Wang Jiazhi and the sophisticated, fluid Mai Tai Tai.
Mm.
And Tony Leung, the old man of Hong Kong cinema.
Suave.
Yes, he
plays... The old suave man.
Yes, he plays Mr. Yi. And he's suitably aged in this movie. You know, he's stoic and authoritative. Even if he looks really short in this film.
Yeah, he's quite short.
He's really, really short, and he wears high pants, which doesn't help.
Yeah.
And this kind of takes away from the physical manifestation of that power, but he still exudes enough presence.
Yeah.
I like the story. I must stress that it's a more heart-wrenching than action. It's not just a war film. However, because Singapore is conservative like that, the sex scenes were cut. So I would suggest that you read up on what was cut before you go into the film.
Yeah, I had the benefit of watching the uncut version. So I can tell you that you guys missed out on some very important scenes.
Mm.
But the version that was shown here was the version meant for China. Mm. Which has no rating system. In other words, it had to be kid safe.
Yeah.
And it was apparently cut by the director himself, but still,
well,
right?
Leon took to cutting it because he didn't want the censors to do it for
sure,
him.
Sure, but
so
even
at
then,
least yeah. There is that. It did get the point across. It lost something, but you wouldn't exactly feel it until you read up on it.
Mm.
I still think that you go watch it. You know, it takes you a while to recover from the ending, but it's worth it.
You think so? I mean, I think you should watch it, but I still think it's a waste that we are not able to see the full version. It was a very intense movie. I think it was very long, 156 minutes.
Yes.
Yours was 140 something, 9 minutes shorter. All the sex and violence cut out. Story unfolded very nicely. It's not a usual spy thriller that you're saying. I would even call it spy thriller, but they call it in the papers.
Well, it seemed that they were marketing it in a different direction than it actually was. You know, it seemed, because for me, it was more the story of that one girl rather than a war film.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you say spy thriller, you expect a faster pace.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
definitely,
it's more of art film meets film noir meets old school Chinese melodrama meets war
exactly.
story. You know, and like the one woman trying to overcome. You know, her circumstances story.
War.
Yeah. You know. And I think it resonated more with Asian audiences because
definitely.
Of the familiarity also of the content. Japanese occupation, that period, is very familiar to Asians. And it's a very different experience, I think, from the American or European experience of the war. Because down here, you know,
we were hit first.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, quite badly. And the storytelling style is also very Asian.
Very, very odd. The expression, the way they, you know, condense everything, it's very, very Asian.
And people found it slow in pace. I think a lot of American critics, Western critics, I think European critics were okay. The American critics found it like, oh, it takes so long. Why is it so dragged down movie?
Because
but the storytelling is different.
It's a bit like almost how a French film also takes its time with its moments. It's something like
maybe
that.
Maybe that's
but
why.
Asian.
Yeah, maybe that's why the Europeans didn't slam it as badly.
Yes,
and in fact,
so.
They liked it. French movies are a little too drawn out for me. But, but yeah, I can
it's
see
that.
Yeah,
kind of rhythm.
Correct. It is slower. Takes its time to tell a story. And the sex in there, the version I saw, was very graphic. But it was very important to understand the complexity of the relationship between the two leads.
It changes.
Correct. And if you didn't see the scenes, you wouldn't understand how it changed. Because, you know, the scenes, the acting in the sex scenes showed how the thing progressed from domination to
something a little bit else.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think the moral ambiguity becomes stronger.
Because of it.
Once you see the way their relationship unfolds. Maybe the Singapore version can be called Just Caution.
Oh my god, I can't believe it.
No, yeah, you know, it's not last caution. There's no last.
It's what a happened, lot of caution.
What happened to the last? You know, we snip, you know, and it's just caution.
Okay, well.
Just caution.
Well, read up. Read up on, you know, the cutscenes. It would make it so much better for you.
From art to apocalypse, Resident Evil Extinction.
Again.
Mila, I got no breast. Yokovic is back. As Alice in this third installment of Resident Evil. And as a zombie fan, had to watch it. I enjoyed Shaun of the Dead. Totally enjoyed 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later. And my wife and I secretly enjoy Resident Evil. This time, Alice is on the road after escaping from the Umbrella Corporation. What a stupid name.
Well, wait till you get to the later part of the show. You see the bosses.
Yeah, I know. The T-virus has spread rapidly, and there are zombies everywhere, of course. You know, Alice is going from place to place trying to help people who are still surviving. And also to top up the tank of a BMW bike. Where did she get a bike like that, right?
I don't know.
It's like post-apocalyptic, Earth and everything's about to
explode. And it's a white bike, and it looks so white.
It's a nice, bike. It's got power. You know, here's the thing, right? If you were in post-apocalyptic Earth and you have problem looking for gas and food, right?
Yeah.
Why are you riding a fuel-guzzling BMW bike?
You should be riding a little scooter.
Yeah, you should be a scooter, a moped, or a bicycle. But no, Alice had to be riding that guzzler, right?
But then she's Ellie's, you know, must have something inside.
Must be cool. Yeah, okay. She meets Ellie Latta's Claire character.
All right, if we're going to make this trip, we're going to need to resupply.
Yep.
Then, maybe...
We could try this.
Vegas. It's the only place we're sure to find gasoline and supplies.
Well, there's a reason for that. Vegas is too damn dangerous.
We've drained every small town dry over the last 6 months. We have to hit a big city.
Who is leading a ragtag convoy of survivors. Meanwhile, Dr. Isaacs, bad guy scientist, is hard at work at the underground lab trying to clone more Alices to get the right Alice because she needs her T-virus immune blood to create an antidote that can domesticate the zombies to be used for their evil, nefarious purposes.
Wait. I think for the benefit of some people who can't remember or didn't watch the first two, it's basically the virus wipes out the world because everybody becomes zombies, and this one woman called Alice is immune to the virus.
Yeah,
so
she's not
Project Alice.
She's not even human, I think. She's sort of a product of the Umbrella Corporation. And she
she's genetically modified.
Yeah, she used to be a head of security in this Umbrella Corporation.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to startle you. I am the artificial intelligence witch.
Yeah, I know what you are.
Your blood has bonded with the T-virus. It could be used to destroy the biohazard for good.
You mean my blood is the cure for all this?
You see, must have the right background. Then his Alices, right, he keep experimenting, then keep failing. Fail. Then every time they fail, which means they die, the test, he dumps them into a pit outside. And then when he finds out that the real Alice is out there because the sensors picked her up, he decides to go after Alice. You know, have to get her, the real one. I think it's probably the best of the three movies. I think so, which is not saying much. I like the first one. The second one was okay. Third one was a fun watch. I thought the action was cool. And although there were some bits that were censored, unfortunately.
Well, again, with this, it's not that vital to the plot.
No, that's
what
true.
Plot?
No need plot one. Ellie Latta doesn't do much in this movie except look very beautiful and worried.
She does. She shoots people.
Oh, yeah, and she once has, in a while.
Yeah, random drops of blood on her face, which disappears in the next scene.
That's right. Alice gets to meet an old teammate, Carlos Oliveira, played by Odette Fehr from The Mummy and Mummy 2. He's Adeth, leader of the Magi, the Pharaoh's secret bodyguard. My wife recognized him straight away. And then I'm like, no, he's not. Even though he didn't have the long hair and a beard. And I lost the bet.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I lost the bet terribly. The thing that struck me about the show was how beautiful the women looked in the movie.
Yes.
Mila's face always had this glow. No blemish. Always had this glow. And then her makeup was all perfect even after a fight.
You know what? I was just telling my friend earlier today, every woman on the film, all their close-ups, everybody looked moisturized and dewy in the middle of a desert.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
A desert.
The other women had eyeliner, lipstick, and the men had lipstick, damn it.
And Ashanti looks so perfectly. She looked like she was going to burst into song at
a music
concert.
Video, right?
Yeah.
She's so going to sing, right? Why does everybody in this post-apocalyptic zombie route, Earth, look so well-groomed? I mean, no gas. You got no gas. You got no food. You got no damn cigarettes. But damn it, you got to have your eyeliner and your lipstick. You got to watch out for the obvious product placements also by Pepsi and Vio.
Oh,
Sony
yes.
Vio is come on. It's
I remember
obvious.
The Vio one. I was just, look, that there it is.
Vio. We use Vio in the Umbrella Corporation. Okay, Sony, get it?
We have no food, but then we got a lot of electricity.
Yeah, I know, yeah. The bad guys were particularly bad. Okay, the acting in the computer game is better than the acting by the, you know, that's an order. The guy in the black sunglasses, right?
Yeah,
he was the worst.
Does.
They had to put a black sunglasses on him so that you couldn't see how bad he acted. But even then, you could see like he's a piece of wood, right? The big bad guy.
It's worse than Neo in The Matrix.
Very bad. Extremely bad acting from the bad guys. I guess it's a computer game movie. What do you expect? Well, anyway, if you never liked the Resident Evil series, don't watch it. You get very disappointed. You think it's silly. But we enjoyed it.
Yes.
So go watch
very
it.
Very light action flick.
Fun. Okay, that's the show for this week. Thanks for joining us. This is Mr. Brown saying bye-bye.
Bye.
A production of C. What? Show.com.